magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017. Freshly back from the wedding weekend. Not too many bags underneath your eyes. You're looking okay.
Just two.
Getting caught up a little on the sleep. Has the stress been minimized to some degree?
You know, there was stress, but honestly, it was fantastic.
That's what I heard, and yeah. I know you don't want to give all the specifics. Yeah. You need permission from your daughter,
no,
I guess.
No, I don't. It just would take 10 days.
But you did feel or sense that God really almost supernaturally or very specifically, you know, because the first thing I asked on Monday was, what about all that rain?
I know.
It was like torrential downpours throughout Saturday. How did the wedding go? And you said, Mark, it was amazing.
It was. It was. And we had so many people praying for us, and it was like supernatural intervention. The whole day was God sightings, in your words. Mm-hmm. That's the word you use a lot of times, God sightings.
Now, we are calling you, how's the mother-in-law doing today?
Yes.
That was yesterday during our conversational English time. And how's it feel to have a new son-in-law in the family?
I feel fantastic.
Good answer, in case he's tuning in.
No, it was just a day of beautiful, beautiful memories and miracles and everything. I can't express how perfect it was.
Yeah. Well, I know your group yesterday was glad to have you back reading from your book, Memories of an African Son, which, incidentally, I think third or fourth Tuesday in a row, we're going to have you read a chapter or two today.
Thank you.
So I'm glad you're back with us. And I think you came back, happened to be on full throttle because we have all these different things we're working on.
Yeah.
The LST, the Lincoln Square Times. Putting together a little newsletter for the mall, trying to connect the community together here. In fact, Jason came up with the tagline. He kind of knew our intent and our thoughts, and I came up with the Lincoln Square Times. I thought that would be a good little name for our newsletter or our update. But he put, this was his line, working together to encourage and inform one another.
I know.
He lifted their logo off the website, then added some graphics.
It looks so good.
You and I are putting some text and some of the current events together.
We need to go into business.
So we're going to have a little Lincoln Square Times that will go out to the other tenants here at the mall and keep everyone informed on some of the upcoming events, which will include some of the Great News Radio events like, oh gosh, let me look at the calendar, like less than 2 weeks or 2 weeks away.
Scary.
Ivan Parker, June 10th. We continue to sell, I say tickets, but they're actually wristbands.
Bracelets,
and it'll be our best, well, for men, they want to have wristbands. we don't wear bracelets.
Yes, we have some very manly something or others with little happy hearts. Faces.
The smiley faces are the general tickets, and then the VIP, that's the reserve seating and the meet and greet with Ivan for a special reception. Those are $25.
And it's worth coming to that meet and greet.
Yeah.
The time I came, well, the last two times I think I was there, he's so personal. And he really does shake people's hand, look at them, talk to them.
Yeah.
It's not just the through-the-line thing.
Yeah, he's great. And you can take a picture or get something signed. And Ivan Parker's coming to town, and he is bringing his son, Josh. So they have a fun time on stage together, singing and sharing.
That kid's a good guitar player.
Yeah, very good. And so that's all happening on Saturday, June 10th. And you can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.com. greatnewsradio.org. Again, it's $10 open general seating when you purchase it in advance. The night of the concert, that's Saturday, June 10th, if there's seats available, not knowing exactly how many people are going to be buying tickets in the coming days, but open general seating will be $15. And so put it on your calendar, and if you need more information, stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, or give us a call, 217-367-7777. And then that upcoming Tuesday after the 10th, on the 13th, specifically June 13th, June 20th, and the 27th, that'll be three of the six sessions for our special, let me look at the book here, it's called Disciple Maker's Journal, Saying Yes to Following Jesus Together.
That looks like a good group of teachings.
Bill Allison put this together. He's a part of Cadre Ministries. We've had him interviewed a time or two in the past, and he's hosted a couple events at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. Well, Jason brought this book on our trip to Israel, and we all had a copy of it. And so we had a devotional series. Well, it was at 6:15, 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, that's dedication.
Not all of us quite made it all the time. And we thoroughly enjoyed it when we made it. Mm-hmm. But there were some people that couldn't make it at all. And we thought, you know, we should offer this to those pilgrims in an evening, maybe over a 6 or so week series, so they could participate in that journey of being a disciple maker for Jesus. And so then I thought, you know what, we should open up to the Great News Radio listeners too. And so that's all going to happen. It's going to be on Tuesday nights in June and in July, 6 weeks, 6:15 to 7:30.
Right, so here at the center?
Right here at the Great News Radio Center. And we'll probably limit it to maybe 40 or so people. So we'll have a good group that we can all go through this workbook together. It's kind of a journal workbook, and it'll be the 3 Tuesdays in June, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Tuesday, June 13th, 20th, and 27th, taking a break for July 4th, which happens to be on a Tuesday night, and then we'll conclude on July 11th, 18th, and 25th, basically 6:15 to 7:30. So get in here around 6 o'clock. And then it gets settled so we can start right at 6:15 so we can be done by 7:30. People be on their way home. But it's called the Disciple Maker's Journal, saying yes to following Jesus together.
Even just looking at that cover, it's kind of thought-provoking. You know, you think about, am I a disciple maker, and journaling about that and how you would go about that in your life.
Well, it says right here in the first page, mutual community together. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are a disciple maker.
Okay.
As you work through this journal, we believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you about who you'll share and how you'll share and what you're learning with each other. It can be the same person or a different person each day. It'll be your opportunity to share your relationship with God with those around you, family, friends, co-workers, and neighbors. So listen to the Holy Spirit and respond. And so it's going to take us through how to build those relationships, how to establish community, and then how to be an effective disciple maker. Because I think Jason has said this in the past, that if you're not investing some of your life into somebody, you're missing out.
Yeah, and that's a really good thought.
You want to replicate the joy and the love you have for Jesus with others. And so you should have maybe a Timothy in your life and maybe a Paul, somebody that's investing in your life. And then the Barnabases along the way, people that you encourage one another. So
I got to say, though, when you were reading that little blurb that you opened the book, you sounded like you were auditioning for something.
Oh, hey, good
and
segue.
Good family for the way you read that.
Oh, so this is not a plug on what Kate's going to be doing?
Well, it was in the back of my mind.
Okay, very good. You know what? I can't remember what the specific date is.
Well,
it's
we need
Saturday
to get that nailed down.
Weeks.
It's June 3rd, isn't it? Or someday in June.
Someday in June. Hey, that's
it. Oh, it's
title
like a musical.
Of a new book.
It's a musical. Someday in June.
We are going to, that's right, I forgot, I didn't write that down.
Mark's flustered.
Many of you know about the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, correct? Yes, I hear you. We're going to be putting together in December, actually we're going to be putting it together in maybe September, October, or October, November for December. A Great News Radio version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, it's so exciting.
And we purchased the rights or the scripting. And so, in fact, in the next few days, you'll probably hear some radio announcements encouraging those of you that want to be a part of that to audition.
Oh.
And so that audition is going to be on a Saturday, I think at 1 o'clock. And I can't remember. Let me look at the calendar here. I think we moved it back one more week to give us time, so it might even be the 17th.
We'll get that nailed down.
Yeah. keep listening. Hey, this is better than some of our other things that I just decide on the fly.
Yeah, really.
This has
is.
Been talked about and planned out.
Kate has all this down, folks. Yes, please know that.
I think it could be the 17th because I thought the Ivan Parker concert. I think she wanted it on the 3rd. And I thought, let's give it some more time so we can get the word out and get it out clearly.
Yes, sorry about that.
So I think it's going to be like the 17th, because the 24th we're going to have a ping pong championship here.
That
so,
too.
So we had to fit it in between the ping pong championship and
there's
Ivan Parker on the 10th. So I think the auditions will be on the 17th of June at 1 o'clock here at the Great News Radio Center. And that'll allow her to hear different voices and different parts. But we're going to do a radio version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, my God.
And I'll probably air it a couple times in December, like around the Christmas season and then maybe early December. But we're looking for as many as, I think, 30 cast members to take on different roles.
I'm so excited over this. I can already stand it.
Yeah, and I think you're going to have a role, too.
Oh, if I could even just say hello or it's a Wonderful Life, anything. Just see the people here being recorded, having a real drama. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and we're going to have the sound effects.
It's going to be fantastic.
So it's going to be a great production of It's a Wonderful Life.
And we're going to spend the whole program talking about this.
Yeah, so anyways, if that's something that's piquing
your interest.
We don't
even have all the details.
Yeah, keep listening because we'll clarify and have specifics for you soon. But
Kate's probably just like
shaking her hand because here we go again. Confusion. No, I think I'm almost certain it's going to be the 17th. And I believe I said 1 o'clock right after lunch. And
we think.
Yeah. So be listening. And
we're on it. We're going to have this straightened out.
But we do know Ivan Parker on the 10th.
Yes.
Pastor Jason Schiffo is going to be helping out with a Disciple Makers session, 6 sessions. Mm-hmm. And that will begin June 13th. And there will be a sign up, I think, in the next day or two at our website, greatnewsradio.org, so people can get registered for that. There's a $5 cost, and that's so they get a copy of this Disciple Makers journal. And then there will be other incidentals, you know, photocopies and stuff. So $5 really is just a break-even point. And then
and the ping pong tournament. But
ping pong
we won't
tournament.
Get into that.
Yeah, because that's part of our Lincoln Square Times.
Yeah.
But that's going to be happening June 24th, and we're going to limit it to advanced and elite players.
Excuse us.
Yeah. So you have to really know how to play, and that'll be happening
I'll go
right
sit
here
in the corner.
Right here at Lincoln Square in the north-south corridor, and I think we're going to have 4 or 5 different tables set up.
Oh,
and
fun.
If I can get a few of these Chinese guys to play, they're off the charts good.
Wow.
I've never seen anyone any better. And
wow.
Last week, I think I watched this one team play for about a half hour straight, and I was just like captivated. How are they hitting the ball?
How are they hitting the ball?
They're just
that's funny.
Unbelievable.
That's a good
way
thing
out
to
of
think
my league.
As you're playing ping pong. How are they hitting the ball?
Way out of my league.
Oh,
so.
You're pretty good, though.
But it's all relative. You learn that.
I know.
I'm pretty good to fair players. Mm. But there's a gentleman that came a few different times.
Yeah, I remember him.
His name's Ethan Durst. In fact, I think he's like a youth pastor or something at a local church here.
Neat.
And, I mean, I'm fair. I'm good. But after playing him, it's like, gosh, I'm lousy. You know, he was really, really good.
Do you know how bad this makes us all feel?
Well,
we're trying to get up to your speed.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there saying, oh, I'm just fair.
Well, the irony here, it's all relative because he, to me, was, wow, he's a really good player. Mm. He's really good. Well, he came and played this one Chinese guy from our English conversation class, a beginner. And Ethan said, if I could get 3 or 4 points, I'm doing good.
Wow.
And this guy, he's 65 years old, and he's one of the better local players. Well, he's the best I've ever seen. But I guess there's other better players than him.
You're scaring everybody off.
And so when I watched him, Ethan's like sweating away. He has the towel off his head.
Are you listening,
Ethan? The other guy's just like,
oh, man.
Just was really holding back.
Oh, my word.
And so I thought, wow. So it's all relative. So anyways, you can come and see him play. And I think really be amazed. That'll be happening at 10 a.m. on Saturday, June 24th. And that's during the farmer's market.
Oh,
so
fun.
Maybe come here early.
Oh, that's fun.
Purchase some produce and then walk into the mall. And we'll be in that north-south corridor. And so I'll probably even have this posted. Mm-hmm. You know, we're developing this, Marianne, you and I and Jason, to have kind of a way of communicating with the other tenants here. But we'll probably post this on our door or something. So, and maybe if others absolutely want to see this, they can come by the Great News Radio
Center. Yeah, I mean, it's
Center.
Interesting.
Yeah, you're going to be doing a story on Intesh.
Yeah.
And she's the jewelry shop owner just down the way from us.
I'm
and
excited about
has
that.
Listened to the radio station a time or two. That's kind of neat to know. And the other stories we'll have in here. So we're keeping busy.
Yeah, we are.
And let's get busy into your book.
Okay.
So what do we have here?
All
What's
right.
the chapter?
I thought I would read chapter 30.
30.
Yeah.
Why 30?
I don't know. I guess because for some reason when you asked me to read, I thought, I'll try and listen to the Holy Spirit and which one would maybe bless some people. Mm. And I thought maybe this one would. I don't know.
Well, we
some
did
listeners.
Pray beforehand. And
we
said,
do.
Lord, allow what's said and shared to touch somebody and allow this story to maybe fit in with what they need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's a point of conviction, or maybe it's an encouraging word, or maybe it's just that lighthearted laughter or something that will minister to them. So we prayed that. So I'm trusting that some of you are going to say, they were praying for me today.
Yeah. Kate thinks we need prayer, probably. But anyway. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I just thought beginning of summer here, maybe this would matter to some people. It's called Days of Peace. They say we never know what we have until it's gone. Mm-hmm. Sort of a hopeless statement, I've always thought. And I would like to think that surely we can do better than that. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Philippians 4:11. It's a tall order. And part of making it work is to force ourselves to look for the good when things aren't perfect. To stop focusing on what is wrong and start focusing on what is right. Even if at first we have to really search for it. To find that place of peace in ourselves and then string the days together with it. What is peace? Peace is a good conversation with one sister or brother, completely free of shades of rivalry. It's walking home in the brisk morning air from a polling place on election day, knowing that no matter the outcome, you have voted in line with your conscience. It's accepting on a gut level that you cannot control the world, and that the only control you have is over yourself. Peace is standing over the grave of your parent, knowing for certain that all is forgiven between you in both directions. It's standing there knowing that there is deep and abiding love present on both sides of that grave. A strange, sobering peace, that one. There's no way to put a price tag on days of peace. When they're gone, we long for them with a longing that is nearly inconsolable. When trouble strikes, all we want in all the world is to go back to just one of the days when the ordinary marched on and nothing was wrong. We would give all of our wealth to be rid of the trouble and go back to the days of peace. So why is it that we so struggle to appreciate them when they're here? I think it may be because we've learned to put such a premium, such a laser-like focus on any little single thing that may not be perfect, not quite up to our standard. We allow the bits of negative on a perfectly normal day to overpower the cornucopia of goodness that might be trying to flow our way. I have discovered that petty discontentment is a destroyer of a high order. I could think back to so many things in Zimbabwe, little things that brought such enjoyment. First comes the memory of kariba bream, surely one of the most marvelous tasting seafoods anywhere, fresh and delicious. Oh, to have one now. Next, watching some members of our hospital staff grill flying ants to perfection out in the back of the hospital for a snack. Not for the patients, just for them. They grilled them as often as they could. I thought it unbelievable that they were eating the ants, though they insisted it was a delicacy. I crouched by the cast iron grill pan with them, watching as the ants sizzled over the fire, shaking my head. Although I did not eat one, I have heard of things that are far worse, in my mind at least, being served at fancy New York restaurants. We had also once had a plague of flying ants on our mission station, and the memory of lying under blankets that were pulled tight from head to toe with the large flying ants pounding away at me was too fresh in my mind to have any possible desire to eat one. I did love sudza, though, the staple of the diet at that time. It was a cooked, thickened cornmeal dish served with greens, vegetables, or a peanut mixture, or even with meat stew relish when available. Memories flood back of watching women in the nearby villages weave beautiful baskets in an assortment of shapes and sizes. I never once grew tired of watching them work at this exquisite craft, and they let me try my own hand at it too, and I quickly learned that it does indeed take practice. Their skill was handed down from ancient knowledge. I remember the unique smell of those vines and grasses that had been soaked in preparation for basket making. Some baskets were made specifically for winnowing grain, others for carrying or storing things. Every single one was beautiful and strong. We had many Zimbabweans in our home for tea and for dinner and for late-night games. Many nights I played dominoes by lantern light with a young friend, an African girl, in our living room. We both liked the game. I played another game with my African friends in the afternoon after school. We drew squares in the dirt and sat around it with beans and rocks and such, moving them around. They generally won. I can hear the sound of the old wringer washing machine located near the back screen door as clothes were quickly put through it. I remember climbing trees day after day, one of my favorite things to do, climbing just as precariously high as I possibly could. I recall serving our Bible college students the most wonderful evening dinner we could afford in our home to honor their graduation. I was the waitress for the event at the long wooden table in our dining room, bringing in and clearing dishes as they sat at the table with the most scrumptious food we could manage. The hours I sat on a rock in the hot sun by a riverbank, waiting for a flooded carburetor to dry out after we had ended up floating the car through the river, didn't seem like a waste of time. We just sat and talked there on the riverbank before continuing our trip. The Shona people that I lived among were experts at waiting. For them, it seemed that time was not something that gets lost or gets found, as though we are in control of it. It just moved on. I remember walking along eating sugarcane when we traveled to the sugarcane fields some hours away. It was a wonderful thing to eat, full of vitamins and minerals before it was processed into molasses, then raw sugar, and finally white sugar. Some of the roads in that area were sprayed with molasses and water to tamp down the dirt, and they glistened in the sun. My years in Africa were a time of great adventure, interspersed with so many days of equanimity and peace. Things had a slower pace. The days seemed ever so much longer. People of my parents' generation talked of this often regarding their own past, about the slower pace of life, the lack of self-imposed stresses, and I experienced that in Africa long ago. I long to sit in my tree again with my book and my little stash of freshly picked guavas with not a care in the world, except wondering when the truck filled with water barrels would drive up the dirt incline. But I cannot. Even were I to go to the very spot today, it could never be the same. Things are built up. The simplicity of the era is gone. The time itself is gone. It has now escaped me. But the feeling has not. And I find I have many things today that are just as wonderful, just as fine, just as perfect. One only has to look for them, to string the days together on a strand of peace. Today, I sit on my porch near the tomato plants I just planted yesterday with my coffee in the lawn chair I found on sale. The plants are growing already. At least, that's what I've been excitedly telling people all day today. It certainly looks it to my hopeful eye. I like being near them while I write, enjoying my coffee. Days of peace. Father, let me never underestimate or undervalue peace. It has a sound, a music, all its own. And in the end, though its song is more subtle and less flamboyant than the many others that have played in my life, I think it's possible I will look back and love it best. So give me the grace and the understanding to appreciate it today. Give us peace. Let it wash around us, our children, our friends, and our times. Give us days of peace.
Chapter 30, Days of Peace, from Marianne Simpkins. We know her as Marianne Offenstein's book, Memories of an African Son, available here at the Great News Radio Center. So much, I wrote down some notes here, but SRN News won't wait, and we're out of time.
Okay. All right.
So, We'll have you back maybe next Tuesday again to do some more readings. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Again, the book is called Memories of an African Son. You can get it online. Better yet, stop by the Great News Radio Center when you purchase those Ivan Parker wristbands. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Offenstein with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.